So as you read God's word, it transforms you. It causes you to dive into the big issues of life. And it retorques you, reconstructs you. He gives you a new life, the life of the Spirit.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, June 23rd, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Life from Above. And our text comes to us from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
We're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, but we're also talking about what it means to serve God. And what it means to discern His voice and how we can maneuver in life as it is today. So I felt that we should look at John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and pick up some incredible statements by the Lord Jesus Himself, who tells us something, reveals us something so important. So let's look at it right now at John chapter 3, and it's verses 1. Yes, and we'll go ahead and read it from the screen. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a big shot. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. And so Jesus didn't pick up, didn't care about all the adulations and nice little words and, gee, you're a great guy. And he just simply went to the heart of the matter and he said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows whatever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. He was the guy that knew everything. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not know these things? I think that's where we're ending. One of the most important things for us to understand is that Christians are born again. And sometimes we've made that phrase, born again, very common. But what it really means is that you, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, in order for you to participate of God, you must first be born of the water, which means birth. A child is born and it's through the water. The mother, when he gives birth, the water breaks. That's the birth, the natural birth. But he also says that you have to be born from above, the Spirit. And so we have a unique structure that we are flesh and we are also spirit. That is to say, there are two streams of life for you and for me. And one of the most amazing things is that you and I, Pascal said it, we are the most miserable of all the creatures that God has created because we can be influenced by one way or the other. And it's absolutely true. And when we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we see what God wants of us to do, we have to have this ability to discern His voice. And discerning the voice of God is just but one dimension of this certain type of life that we have received, eternal life, an eternal kind of life. A life that is actually taken care of as we talk and converse and speak with God. There is a relationship with God. when you and I study the Word of God, we really begin to understand what it means to have this life from above, and how we are parts of it, and how by the graciousness of God, you and me, we can hear God speak to us and be a part of what God is doing in the world today. The Sermon on the Mount tells us that we're supposed to live a different type of life, a different kind of life. And the contrast as to how things are lived in the carnal life and the spiritual life are amazing. But who empowers all of this is the new life that we have received with the Lord. I don't know how many times you've heard God speak to you, but I want you to know that speaking God or hearing God is not a freaky thing. It's not kind of a freak out thing. Because God speaks to your heart and he guides you in ways that you often cannot explain to others. You just can't. But God speaks not just for us or for our purposes or for our prosperity or for our safety, but he speaks to us that we may show others the way in which life should be lived. That's why the Sermon on the Mount was presented to you and to me. That's when we read the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is asking us to do things that are beyond our ability to do. And one of the most important things in our life is to come acquainted with God's word in such a way that that word is planted in our hearts and we can live that life that we talk about. James, the brother of Jesus, uses this image of the word being planted to portray our relationship with God, that additional life in the Spirit, the place where we nourish our hearts and lives so that we're not catering to the natural self, but there is a spiritual side of us. There's a spiritual move of God in your heart that you and I must pay attention to. James says we are to welcome with meekness the implanted word that has been the power to save our souls. As we go into God's word and we read God's word and we meditate in God's word, there is this an ability that God brings to you and to me so that we can live a life that is worthy of living. We live with the life from above. We're still going to be humans, but there is an additional life and strength that gives us a way of life. As a matter of fact, our natural powers are not left to run on their own way. But our life is run along the Lord's ability to process and to find the way of God in our everyday affairs of life. We are redirected. We think differently. We are appointed to a higher level, to a higher purpose. We remain human. We remain like we are. But God comes into our life and processes his life so that we don't live like natural people, natural tendencies. When we allow the Lord to work in our hearts and we allow the Word of God to be implanted, we receive it with meekness. We allow the Word of God to nurture us, to show us, to instruct us. The Word of God redirects our life and restructures our thinking. And all of a sudden, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And there's a need today for you and I to become better acquainted with the voice of God as we read his word. For us to be attentive to what he says to us and how he directs our everyday life affairs. There's a different description of God's word that allows this life from above to become clearer. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Jesus is speaking of the church. He says, the apostle actually says that Christ gave himself up for her, the church, in order to make her holy by cleansing her with the washing of water by the word, so as to present the church to himself as splendor, in splendor, without a spot or wrinkle or anything of the kind. Yes, so that she may be holy and without blemish. Here again is the word of God that aids this life from above, that permeates our human personality and moves us towards God. I mean, there are impurities in our life, and there are distractions in our life, and we don't. They don't automatically disappear when we come to Christ. They don't. I wish they would, but they don't. We're saved. We're redeemed. We're adopted. We're justified. We're sanctified. But we're still living down here. That life from above comes and shows that there's a new way of living, and yet we still have those awkward moments in our life when we triple and we fall and we slip and we slide. How many sliders do we have here this morning? But by his sacrificial death and triumphant resurrection, Jesus Christ finishes his work, and we as his followers become a unit of life, a social unit of life. We become the redemptive community of Christ. We're the living temple of the living God. There is a change that takes place in us as an overwhelming change. And it helps us to become men and women of the life from above. The Word of God, brothers and sisters, comes into our lives. We acquire that discipline of reading the Word and meditating in the Word and being involved in the Word. And it enters our mind and it enters and gives us a new life, a new faith. It just changes us. You can come to Christ, and that's wonderful. But this has to be another step in your life. And that step is to draw close to God so that God will draw close to you. There is an effort that is needed in all of us to acquire a taste for this new life from above. This desire to be like the Lord, not to live as natural men and women, but men and women who have received new life, the life from above, born by the Spirit, giving us the ability to use the Word of God to enhance our understanding of what it means to live as a Christian in this world. How many of us need to know how to do that? Well, all of us do. And as you and I read God's Word, there's an amazing act that takes place. It rejuvenates your life. It redirects your life. It gives you the ability to think differently than before. So it's not just coming to Christ. It's growing in Christ. It's not just coming to church. It's allowing God to work in His Word in your life and showing you that you belong to a community of men and women who have tasted of a life abundant. And that life abundant causes you to be a light to the world. Wherever you go, people look at you. They should look at you. And when they do look at you, they should see the shining presence of God in your life. You are very human, but you're also divine. You and I, Peter says, partakers of the divine nature. The Lord dwells in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you, in this body. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, God is there in you. Amen. So my question to you is, are you showing up with a radiance in your heart? Are you displaying the life in the Spirit? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but have you done anything with it? Talking about washing, let me go to that. Because I need you to know that you and I have an amazing extension of dirt in our lives. Don't feel bad, but it's true. We need this washing. We need a multitude of things that need to be washed from our mind. Those things that are obstacles that prevent us from hearing Christ, hearing the Lord in our lives. And the power of the living Word is the one that removes them. This washing of the Word helps us to discern His will. And we understand what is the good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. Sometimes our brains are so full of the world that we don't shine with a life from above. Well, some of the stuff that the Word of God needs to remove from us, from our hearts and from our lives and from our minds. For example, sometimes we think if we're mean enough with people, we're going to make them good. Sometimes we think the best thing to do to get along is to threaten people. And that's really not the way that Jesus would have us live this life. Then there are some people who would like to be served and not serve anybody else. And yet Jesus says that if you ever want to preserve your life, you must lose it before you gain it. When you continue to look to see how God's way is, we are convinced, you know, that maybe grabbing and holding is what needs to be done. This is mine. I'm not going to let it go. But Jesus says, give and it shall be given unto you. The stuff that is accumulated in our brain that defies the life from above, There's a way to live for God differently than the world. There's a transformation that takes place with God speaking to you. The untold number of false ideas and all kinds of strange attitudes that corrupt the mind and lives have to be washed away by the entry of God's word. We need to get our brains under the jurisdiction of the life from above. Gee, nobody's saying anything. That's perfectly fine with me. You remind me of some of my classes at Azusa. But we need to profess the Lord to be our Savior. But at the same time, there's a lot of inward change that needs to take place. Theologians call it sanctification. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, whatever that means, you're going to heaven. But what it means right now for you and me is that we must live the life from above. We must live as men and women of God that allow God to speak and strengthen our hearts and lives. Before we're able to hear God correctly, God begins to wash our minds and our heart. You know, give you a couple of examples. I'm sure all of you are going to give an A on all of the questions that I'm going to ask, but that's okay. That's up to you, and I'm not going to worry about it. But when trouble comes, for example, when you have a car problem, or you have a dispute with someone, or in your family, or at work, how long does it take to bring it to God in prayer? It's strange what I'm saying, huh? When you see an accident in the way, in the freeway or whatever, you see some violent behavior, or you hear the ambulance going through the streets, Do you pray? Do you invoke the Lord? Geez, say that's so trivial. Trivial? Because you're not in the ambulance. When you go to meet with a person for any reason, do we go in the spirit of prayer so that we will be prepared to minister to them or they to us in ways that is possible and necessary? I don't know if it's privilege, but certainly it's been my lot to attend meetings. I rarely go to a meeting without being prayed up, because you never know. You never know. When you're alone, oops, when you're alone, okay, no one's around, you're alone. You and the tree. Not even a tree, just yourself. Do you recognize God's presence in your life? Or do you come to grips with God because you see a brother or a sister? Does your mind spontaneously return to God when you're not intensely occupied? Like compass that turns goes to true north? Our answer to the simple questions shows us where we're anchored and shows us the utility of the life from above and the life in the flesh, the life as a natural person. Our minds, or perhaps even our brains, brothers and sisters, need to have the false thoughts and habits washed out from our brain. How many need a washing of the brain? Don't raise your hand, because we all have stuff in our life that has accumulated and is debris that needs to be washed away. So badly we need to wash our brains and our minds that we rarely really understand what it means to have a washing of the brain. By the word, cleaning of the brain. We don't even know what it means to have a brain that is cleansed from all those things that impede our ability to hear the word of God to our hearts. Well, yeah, you look so happy. I guess you want me to go back to Guatemala. Okay. But the truth is, this is the key. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord is challenging us to live a different type of life. Not the regular life, but a different type of life. See, through the word, God removes the old routines of the heart and of the mind. For some of us, it's so hard to give up those things. They tell the story. I wish I could remember it all in well, but I'll do it. I'll give it a chance. There was this guy who was trying to get moving in life with God, but there was a little pet lizard that he kept here in the side of his coat. This is all allegorical, of course. And so they would say, you know, if you would get rid of that small little alligator from in your coat, if you just push it out, God would do something great for you. We all have alligators. Well, lizards. Chiquitas así. Well, got something there. And for some reason, you know, we pet it and say, it's so nice, you know. You know, those thoughts are so good. That what you do is so nice. And the Lord speaks to you and says, that is interrupting my flow in your life. You've got to get rid of it. And you are, you know, kind of like saying, well, but it's harmless. It doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden you look at the little lizard and it begins to poop. It's okay. It's just poop. And it's so little poop. It's just not much. It's okay. People say, get rid of that. Get rid of that. We all have alligators or lizards that poop. And so one day God confronted this individual and said, you must get rid of that ridiculous thing you have in there. Those routines of the heart and the mind, all those routines of thoughts and feeling and action and imagination and conceptualization and belief and inference. And so one day, in a moment of desperation, pushed it away and throw it away and said, oh, I let it go. And then all of a sudden, a giant, wonderful, beautiful white horse appeared and said, ride me. See, we entertain thoughts and things that we are accustomed to, even to the poop. And the Lord wants to cleanse your mind and your heart. You cannot really hear God's purpose for your life. You cannot take the next step when your brain allows to entertain things that are not holy or good. It's not appropriate for you and me because we have life from above. So he changes the routines of thought and feeling and action and imagination and conceptualizations and belief and inference and all the things that make us who we are. How we are sneaky and not sneaky and how we're smart and we're dumb. All the things that we are. And in its place, God puts something else. His thoughts, his attitudes, his beliefs, his ways of interpreting and seeing things, his words in your heart. One of the questions that was asked, how can you justify pastors with big numbers of people? How do I get numbers? And I said, since when does God call you to have numbers of people? That's the culture of success, which is totally secular. Jesus had 12 disciples, none of them perfect. One of them was pretty bad. He had Judas that hanged himself, and just Jesus didn't kick him out of that small group. But he had Peter, who was a blabbermouth, for which we all identify with. And then he was restored to life. May I just say that the Lord, in so many different ways, wants to work with us as we are, but we need to come for that cleansing, washing away that comes through the Word of God, because he will wash our minds. And he washes our minds in such a way that confusion and falsehood is removed. Hatred is removed. Suspicion is removed. Fear is removed. Sometimes we're captives of the old life. But God is calling you and me to a new life. That life is in there, for you were born not only in the flesh as a human being, but also from above. And then because of that, you can enter into the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is right here with you. And you're able to access resources beyond belief. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, make disciples, preach the gospel. He commissioned us to be his representatives. We represent the Lord with a changed life. So when there was fear, now there's hope. When there was suspicion, now there's confidence. Where there was hate, it's hard for me to say this, but he replaces hate with love. So if there's any kind of little un pequeño, un cachito nomás de odio, you've got some problems. He replaces it with love. Love is not an emotional feeling, it's an attitude. It's a principle of life. And it's all based on a new understanding of God conveyed unto us by his word. So as you read God's word, it transforms you. It causes you to dive into the big issues of life. And it retorques you, reconstructs you. He gives you a new life, the life of the Spirit, which contradicts everything that surrounds you. But it's okay, because you and I are the light of the world. In my notes, I say, finish here. Yeah. Vessels of wrath become vessels of patience and kindness. Where there was covetousness and lust, there's generosity and courteous consideration. Where there was manipulation and possessiveness, there is now trust towards God and encouragement of others towards liberty and individuality. We are acquiring, we are placing, or have the character to which listening to God, listening to his voice, is natural. Natural. Well, Paul says, consider yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. Dead to the things of the world. You and I, men and women of this additional birth. And we stand in the intercession between being just natural and spiritual. St. Thomas Aquinas, this is a discovery I made just a few days ago, coined a word to express just this state. I don't speak Latin, so I'm going to just make it up. There is avenum, different from temptus and eternities. So avenum is the mean between eternity and time, that we share in that. Absolutely true. There are two streams. We have temporal stuff and eternity. And we stand in the middle. We're here and then we're there. We live with two natures that seem to clash. Paul says, I don't know. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I do, I don't. It's not what I want to do. And there's this conflict, this war inside of us. But all I can tell you is, there comes a moment in your life and my life that when you identify yourself and you move towards what God wants, how God's word is correcting you and instructing you and showing you that things become different and possible for you. How we identify ourselves with this life, the life from above, I'll finish with this. It is not a fact to be discovered by subtle examination of theological treaties. It's not looking into our hearts and saying, gee, the way that you and I move into newness of life and acquire and invite the Word of God into our life is a set of the will. When you will say, I will serve the Lord. I will read the Word. I will obey His commands. I will listen to His Word. I will do it. And by God's grace, you who will, can. So that's why Paul says you and I need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, Philippians 2, 12, 13, for it's God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. It's the will. It's you say to yourself, I am going to serve the Lord. I will do what God says in His Word. I will return good for evil. So it's me, but yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. And His life is the one that's flushing out. Sure, I keep mad at you. You know, I should slap you, but you don't. You love them. You show them kindness. That's the life from above. You have a chance to lie, but you know what? Every lie we tell comes from the Father of all lies. So you're not going to lie. You're going to say the truth. Amen. Ooh, for some of you, that's horrible. Because some of us have lived a life of lies. And we pretended to be someone we're not. You come to Christ with that new life, and you must say the truth. Okay, you know, I'm going to tithe. But Lord, you know that I'm in need, and I'm not really going to tithe. Because, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. God doesn't say anything to you about that. It's your will against the Word. But that brother was really bad. I'm not going to forgive him. And you keep that grudge in your heart. The Lord says, forgive. As you have been forgiven. The life of the Spirit is character. Putting on, as Dallas Willard would say, the character of Christ. Where you become more like Christ every single day. So, you and I, who are born from above, have this wonderful, marvelous experience. And we need to practice it. And I'm going to say to you that there is nothing greater. There is no greater freedom. There is no greater freedom than to do what God calls you to do and to do it. There is no greater freedom to trust God in your finances, in your marriage, in your relationships. There's no greater freedom than to do what God says to do. Because, and here's, I will conclude. Because in reality, doing what God is telling us to do doesn't really do too much for us as far as what we're doing. Because God is really not interested in what you are doing, but what you are becoming. And in the doing of things, you become the person that God wants you to be. Remember that parable that Jesus told about the unprofitable servants? In that parable, he says something like this. Well, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other. It says, and you've done your job, and what should I do? Should I premium? Should I give you a prize? No, I call you unprofitable servants because you did what you were supposed to do. So there are some things that we do, and they're hard to do, but we do. But it's not what we're doing, it's what we're becoming. We're becoming more like Christ, the character of Christ, putting it on. Oh boy, how do I end all of this? I guess if I just sit down and just walk away and leave you here. But we're born from above, and this huge responsibility of living the life of Christ, not just in church, but when you drive out of the parking lot, even before that, and when you have conversations with people, when you go to work tomorrow, dread it Monday, you know, when you meet people, when you do things, when you do whatever you do for a living, you do so in accordance with the life from above that guarantees Christ's presence in your life and therefore transform your environment and those around you for the glory of the Lord. So I want you to practice reading the Word. I want you to read God's Word anywhere. Just read John if you want to, anywhere. And just keep reading it. And the way that we will address this a couple of Sundays is what it means to read the Word meditatively. We'll show you. We're going to go through something. And we'll show you what it means to do divine lecture, what it means, how you do this. And there's a way which people of old have done, which is remarkable. But you must have a mindset that you want to do for God what you cannot do for yourself. How many are born from above? You have a life that needs to be lived. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this morning and for the truth that comes to our hearts and causes us to rethink our life. Wash us, cleanse us. Lord Jesus, work in our hearts that we may be people that whom, when the world looks at us, they'll see that we live a different life. For we have been in the Word. We have been reading in the Word. We have been understanding you. We have been listening to you. You've been speaking to our hearts and we're acting out. Bless and strengthen us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Guatemala. No. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.